Father, I pray that you would use this message tonight. Give us what we need from your word to help us to have victory over sin. In Jesus' name, amen. There's been many rulers in history who have cruelly oppressed people. I was able to sit down with Brother Jim and look at some of the pictures that he took. Just last night, I looked at some of those pictures that he took while he was in Germany. And he was in Europe of some of the prison camps and the extermination camps. And we realized that Hitler was a very, very cruel ruler who oppressed many, many people. If you go back further in history, we can look at Pharaoh and say, Pharaoh, what a terribly cruel ruler who oppressed so many people. But the cruelest ruler that ever lived wasn't a person. The cruelest ruler that ever lived actually lives inside each of us. Now that's a sobering thought. The cruelest ruler that has ever existed is sin. Sin is a tyrant and has the potential to oppress and destroy us. But Jesus Christ has delivered us from sin's power through His finished work at Calvary. That's the summary of this whole message. Sin is a cruel ruler, but Jesus Christ has delivered us from sin's power, and He did that through His finished work at Calvary. God didn't create sin. You may have had somebody ask you at some point, how did sin get here? If God is such a great God, why is there sin? Why did God make sin then? God didn't create sin, but He created people with a free will to choose to disobey Him. And the opposite of obedience is sin. Let me give you an illustration. Some of you will spend some time at the barber shop sometime, or the beauty shop, or whatever place you go to that takes care of keeping your hair manageable. And you may go into that place. Oh, Sarah, you cut hair. Who else cut hair besides 3 or 4 year olds that just cut it, you know, randomly? Anybody else who does that? Okay. I haven't been to the barber shop in many years. Whenever we first got married, one of the first things my wife bought me, I think she got it for Father's Day for me, was a wall hair cutting tool. And she learned how to cut hair, and she's been cutting my hair ever since. And it was a really good time to learn. I was wearing a baseball cap every day for work, and it was just a wonderful time. She practiced until she got just really good at it, at least as good as she can get with what she's got to work with. But can you picture this? There's a pastor in the barber shop, and he's waiting to get his hair cut. And the barber looks over at the pastor, and he says, listen, Reverend. I think it's funny when people call you Reverend. I'm not sure where that all started, but every once in a while that happens. But he said, listen, Reverend, if there's a loving God, how can He allow poverty and war and suffering? How can He allow violence? How can a loving God allow sin? Why would a God like that make sin? Why would He allow these things? And just at that moment, a man with long, dirty, uncombed hair crossed the street. The pastor recognized his opportunity and he said, listen, you're a barber, and you claim to be a good barber. How can you allow that man to go so unkept and unshaven? And the barber looked at the man who had obviously not combed his hair in a while, had not taken care of himself. His hair was long, his beard was long, and he hadn't taken care of it. And to the pastor's challenge, the barber looked at him and he said, he never gave me a chance. And the pastor said, well, that's exactly right. Men are what they are because they've never given God that chance, or because they reject God. See, God didn't make sin. Man chose sin. And the reason we live in a world like we live in is because man's choice to reject God. I'm going to give you some answers to some questions that you have there. We don't have any blanks tonight because we've got to go very quickly. There's several questions. First of all, what is sin? First of all, sin is a violation of God's law. The Bible says in 1 John 5:17 that all unrighteousness is sin. 1 John 3:4, the Bible says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. What is sin? Sin's a violation of God's law. We sin when we knowingly or ignorantly violate God's law. What is sin? God has given a law. Sin is violating His law. Whether you know you're doing it or you don't know you're doing it, you're violating God's law. I was driving home up the stretch that goes from Paseo del Norte, actually it's Paseo del Norte, it goes from golf course up to my house up in Ventana Ranch. It was very late, and I was going way beyond what the speed limit was posted. I didn't even know what the speed limit was. It was a dark night. I think it was a New Year's Eve or something like that. It was very, very late at night, and I was driving home, and I saw a policeman coming, and you know that feeling. You just have a feeling. You don't know. I wasn't even thinking about speeding. I wasn't trying to go anywhere quickly, but it just happened. He turned around. He pulled me over. He asked me if I knew how fast I was going. I said, "Sir, I have no clue." He asked me if I knew what the speed limit was. I said, "Sir, I have no clue. I just wasn't watching. I was ignorant of the law, and I was guilty. I was going at least 15 miles an hour over the speed limit, and that can get you in big trouble. I won't tell you the rest of this." Well, he did give me a warning. I don't know why he gave me a warning, except God was good. But you know, I was guilty. I was just as guilty of speeding as if I'd been doing it on purpose. And when we sin, whether we know we're sinning or we don't know we're sinning, we are guilty of sin. Sin is violation of God's law. Sin is missing the mark of divine perfection. None of us are perfect. None of us are divine. The Bible says, "For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God." You know this. That's why we're going quickly through this part. Sin is rebellion against God. Rebellion against God. Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. He used to be the angel that covered the throne. He's kicked out of heaven because of rebellion. You have it written there in the handout that we gave you, Isaiah 14:12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." The Bible says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Satan's rebellion is described right there, and that was called sin. Sin is rebellion against God. But more than that, sin is anything that's not faith. Anything that's not faith. Romans 14:23, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." We sometimes think, "Well, I'm doing really good because I really haven't sinned lately or so bad lately." Have you done anything that wasn't by faith? I know I have. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. See, God's standard is way higher than our standard is. We find that we're all sinners. Proverbs 3:5, the Bible says, "To trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." So if I ever lean to my own understanding, or if I don't trust in the Lord with all my heart, that is sin. Sin is not trusting God. Sin is willful independence. It's what I want to do, because I want to do it. Here's another question. Where does sin come from? Where does sin come from? Like I said, we're doing this quickly. I want to teach it to you. I want you to see these verses. I want you to be able to take the same lesson, be able to teach somebody else sometime. Where does sin come from? Two places I'm going to give you tonight. First of all, sin comes from our heart. Sin comes from our heart. There was a man came to the altar, and he was praying there at the altar, and he prayed a prayer that the pastor had heard many times before. I'd never heard this prayer, but this pastor had heard this. And the man, as he was praying, he's talking about sin in his life, and he said, "Lord, take the cobwebs out of my life. Lord, would you please take all these cobwebs in my life, and would you please remove them?" Maybe you can picture what he's talking about as he's looking in his heart and he's picturing the sin and he's comparing them to the cobwebs that might be up in the corners and up on the sides and sometimes the long strings that hang down and they blow as the wind blows through your house. The cobwebs that are there, we don't like those. We want a clean house. And as the pastor heard him praying, "Lord, please remove the cobwebs," the pastor interrupted and he said, "Lord, just kill the spider." You know, sin comes from our heart. "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Those were Jesus' words. Where does sin come from? It comes from our heart. Isn't that an interesting thing? We don't have to go to places that are sinful to be sinful people. Sin is in us. Sin comes from our heart. The Bible says it's desperately wicked. It's natural for man to be sinful. Our heart is the root of our sinful nature. These two statements go together. I want you to hear them. Our heart is the root of our sinful nature. Our behavior is the fruit of our sinful nature. We have behavior. We can see that. Maybe you could look at somebody and see a sinful lifestyle. Maybe you could even look at your own lifestyle. You could look at something you did and say, well, I did something that was so wrong. That is not the only thing that's sin in our life. That's the fruit of sin. But the root of sin is our heart, because we have sinful hearts. Sin comes from our heart. Sin is inherited. Sin came from Adam. Romans 5:12, the Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're all sinners. You know this? If you can help, this will help you to be able to teach it, though. Our heart is the root. Our behavior is the fruit, because we inherited our sin from Adam. When Adam chose to sin, his sinless nature became a sinful nature, and we've all inherited Adam's sinful nature. Here's another question. What is the nature of sin? What's it like? We know what sin is. It's violation of God's law. But what is sin like? How would you describe sin? First of all, we would say sin is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. Moses, when he was come to years, according to Hebrews 11:24, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy, here's the phrase I want you to get, the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin is deceitful. And sin does look pleasurable, but it's only pleasurable for a season. It's only pleasurable on the front side. Sin deceives us by appearing desirable. Let me tell you the story about this turtle. It's the alligator snapping turtle. It's not an alligator. It's a turtle. But it's called an alligator snapping turtle. Are you with me on that? We're not talking about alligators. We're talking about a turtle. Just want to make sure. It's hot in here tonight, and I just want to make sure that you haven't zoned out yet. All right? So an alligator snapping turtle. Let me tell you about this amazing animal. It's the largest freshwater turtle, one of the largest freshwater turtles. It's primarily in the southeastern United States. They can get up to 250 pounds. These turtles are carnivorous. That means they eat meat. Pretty amazing. Their diet is primarily fish. They've been known to eat almost anything else they can find in the water, even small alligators. The alligator turtle is amazing. It has a deceitful method of catching its food. It deceives the fish. It's kind of like sin. Here's what it does. It lies completely still on the floor of the lake or a river with its mouth wide open. What a great picture of sin. This turtle, it's hiding. It's on the ground. Its mouth is wide open, and it's waiting to eat its dinner. Great picture of sin. But God gave him a very special tongue. At the end of his tongue, there's a small pink worm-shaped appendage. And the turtle wiggles the end of its tongue so that it looks like a worm moving through the water. And when a fish comes to eat the worm, the turtle snaps its jaws trapped and traps the fish so that it can't escape. What an amazing picture of sin. Sin deceives us. The little worm. We just want to go and see what it is. We just want to go taste it. I like Winnie the Pooh's line. I'm not going to eat it. I'm just going to taste it. We want to sample it. We're curious. We just want to see what it is. And the little thing's wiggling there. We can hardly avoid the temptation because it just looks so, I want to get there. I want to see what that is. And if we get close enough, the turtle closes its jaws and we're dinner. That's the same thing with sin. You know, sin is deceitful. The serpent said to the woman, ye shall not what? Surely die. He lied to her. The devil lied to Eve, and we know the rest of the story. She saw the tree was good for food. She saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. She saw that it was a tree to be desired, to make one wise, and she took the fruit thereof. She ate. She gave to her husband also, and he did eat. And the first man and the first woman sinned. Sin's deceitful. Hebrews 3:13, the Bible says, but exhort one another daily. Challenge one another, encourage one another, teach one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the, are you looking at that? Through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceptive. Sin will try to deceive you. Sin is powerful. Psalm 19:13, the Bible says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Proverbs 5:22, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. What a great word picture. Sin is not only deceptive, but it's also powerful. When we sin, our sin will be like cords that hold us, that tie us down. Like Samson was tied down with cords after his hair was cut and he couldn't do anything about it. Sin's deceptive. Sin is powerful. Sin is destructive. For sin, Romans 7:11 says, for sin, taking the occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. The destructiveness of sin complicates our life and the lives of those around us. Think about it. It's sin that destroys lives. And it's because sin is so destructive that our lives can get so complicated and so hard. Mount St. Helens erupted May 1980. People died during that eruption. The problem is, it wasn't a sudden event. For 2 months prior to the eruption, it was the most deadly and destructive eruption in American history. But for 2 months, the earthquakes and volcanic activity signaled a major event was underway. The authorities had time. They sounded the alarm. They warned everybody living nearby. But even though it was a serious threat, some people decided just to stay. Probably the best known of the people who decided to stay, he refused to evacuate, was a man named Harry Randall Truman. He was 83 years old. He was the owner and the caretaker of the Mount St. Helens Lodge at Spirit Lake. It used to be an amazingly beautiful lake. Now it's still beautiful, but in a different way, with so many thousands and thousands of floating logs from that volcano. This man, he'd survived the sinking of his troop ship by a German submarine off the coast of Ireland during World War I. He wasn't about to leave just because scientists thought there was danger. Here's what he said. I don't have any idea whether it'll blow, but I don't believe it to the point that I'm going to pack up. And on May 18th, 1980, he and his lodge were buried under 150 feet of mud and debris from the volcanic eruption. His body was never found. Sin is so destructive. Sin is powerful. Sin is deceptive. I'm going to have to preach the rest of this probably another week. We'll look at this. There's two questions that are coming up next. You can read it. I'll still preach it. That's fine. What should I do when I sin? And how can I have victory over sin's power? We'll get to those next week. Understanding how powerful sin is, how deceptive sin is, understanding what sin is, it's going to help us so much to realize, I don't want to sin. I don't want to go that direction. I don't want the destruction that comes with sin. I want to stay away from temptation. You're welcome to read ahead, and I don't mind if you read all of those verses. Please do. It'll help you to be able to absorb better next week as we preach how to avoid sin and what should I do when I do sin. Father, I pray this evening that you would help us to understand just a little bit more about sin. Sin is something that we all have in us. It's the worst of all the cruel rulers in all of history, and it lives inside us. Lord, I pray that we would yield ourselves to you. I pray that we would obey your word. I pray that we would be have soft hearts to your leading in our lives so that we don't sin. We know that you won the power over sin when you died on the cross. Lord, help us understand just how deceptive sin is, how much it wants to trick us, how much it wants to lure us in and destroy us. Help us to understand how powerful it is. It's like ropes that tie us down and limit our potential. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live a life that pleases you. Help us to live lives away from sin, saying no to sin and to temptation.